Alright, so hello and welcome to Media MD. I'm Ruben Morehouse.
I'm Elliot Diebold.
And so on Media MD, each week we prescribe each other a piece of media that the other one has somehow missed. So this week it's my turn. I'm bringing you a TV show called Sense8. It is a Netflix original. You've heard of it?
I think it's one of the few Netflix originals that's actually original, right? Like, you think most of the Netflix originals, like Arrested Development.
We're thinking Daredevil and Jessica Jones, which are comic books.
Exactly.
Yeah. Although, speaking of Netflix originals, Netflix has recommended me this. They did a four movie deal with Adam Sandler.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. So I watched the first one because I was doing it for my YouTube channel, and then I watched the second one has just been recommended to me again and again. And I panned the first one. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, there are scenes of like a donkey giving one of the main characters like a blowjob and all these fucking really weird things. And so I'm dreading that. Anyway, I'll get to the second one eventually because I can't not watch it. Maybe I'll bring it to the podcast. We'll see. But this week we're talking about Sense8. This fortnight. So this is by the Wachowski siblings,
yep.
Who are pretty big names. Matrix, obviously. Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah. Yes.
Are a fan of.
I have mixed feelings about that movie. Yes.
What else have they done? Cloud Atlas.
Yeah, Cloud Atlas. I loved Cloud Atlas.
Yeah, Cloud Atlas was a good movie. It was the kind of movie where it's like, you definitely feel like there's something more going on under the surface, even if there maybe isn't, but it's kind of put together in a weird enough way. It was definitely a pretty good movie, for sure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And now, Sense8.
Yeah.
So hopefully they've continued the trend of weirdly good sci-fi.
Because they haven't done a TV show before, have they?
No, I don't think so. Or at least, I was looking through their Wikipedia page and things that they've kind of, like Matrix, which they wrote and directed and did all this stuff for. I don't think they've been at least that involved in any other TV series.
Okay. Because things like Cloud Atlas, it was like a 4-hour movie or something.
It felt like it was too epic. And it was seven different stories. I think it was seven different stories told in weird order. So maybe a TV series even would have worked. They could just tell one story at a time or...
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. So, anyway, yeah. So Sense8, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So what do you know about Sense8?
I think it's like another one of these like heroes-esque style, like a bunch of normal people find out they have abilities of some sort and then they get embroiled in some conspiracy.
I've just realized I should point out the title is Sense8 as in sense, the word sense, and then the number eight.
Yeah.
And that kind of plays into it in a weird... The title is very weird, but it plays into it in a weird way that I'll explain in a bit.
So I guess like the powers are sort of, I don't know, extrasensory? Like...
So it is... Heroes is something that I definitely draw comparisons to. Not necessarily in that everyone kind of gets superpowers, but in that it kind of feels like the first season of Heroes in a lot of ways, except shorter. I mean, Heroes obviously had its ups and downs, had its flaws, even in the first season, which Sense8 also does. But definitely has the same feel of like these ordinary people suddenly discovering that they have this weird connection to each other. In Heroes, they're all superpowered. But in Sense8, it's that they're all Sense8s, which is now one word. And that means that they are a cluster of eight people who can basically telepathically communicate with each other to a variety of degrees, and they kind of develop their powers throughout the series. So, you know, one of them will be like getting hit, and the other one will be like, oh no, I feel like I'm getting punched in the face. They can also kind of take over each other's bodies and like live as each other for a while.
And so I'm sure there's plots built around the fact that one guy has skills that one other person needs.
Yeah, it's very much like that. Like,
cool. I can get behind that.
Apart from maybe one of them, there's one who is who's an Indian woman living in India, an Indian woman, and her power is just that she kind of knows chemistry and it doesn't really come into anything at all. But it's very kind of character-driven, and these people kind of... something that's played up a lot in the show is that when you have this kind of connection to a person like that, it's very easy to just kind of like fall in love with that person. So they kind of pair off. Some of them don't, but
that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah. All right.
Sorry, everyone.
So I guess I'll give a rundown of the eight characters. I haven't actually watched this that recently, so maybe I'll forget some, but we'll see. So there is Will, who's kind of the main character, if that exists. He's like a policeman. He's got policing skills.
Sure.
And then there is a musician / DJ from, I think, Berlin. She's kind of musically talented.
Okay.
There is an actor, I think from Rio or some Brazilian country, I think, some Brazilian town or whatever.
Yeah.
He's an actor. He can act. Yep. There's a Russian mobster guy who's pretty brutal. There is a Korean, she's kind of a Korean business lady, but she's also, she like does underground MMA style fighting by night. And so she's kind of like,
she sounds useful.
Yeah. So the Russian and the Korean are both the ones that will like fight people, you know,
yeah,
like
sure.
If someone gets into a physical conflict, which happens multiple times, they'll call up they'll like sense out the Korean and be like, hey, can you help me out? Oh, okay. Who else? There is one in, I think, South Africa who is a bus driver. So he's like, he's good at driving.
Okay.
And there is one in San Francisco, a transgender woman. I don't know what her skill is. Or maybe she's a hacker. I feel like she might be a hacker.
San Francisco. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And the Indian woman who is the chemist. I think that's eight. Did I say eight?
Yeah, that's about eight.
Yeah, so the cool thing about Sense8 is each character kind of has their own plot line. Apart from Will the policeman and the musician lady from Berlin and the San Francisco lady, they are all, their stories are all much more closely connected. And their story kind of plays into the overarching story, which comes in a lot at the end of the series. Kind of the explanation kind of series.
Sure. But like at the start, it's mostly just about addressing sort of their individual.
Yeah. Most of them have, the other five kind of have their own plot lines. So the bus driver, he's got some stuff which is kind of gang related. He's living in a very poor part of South Africa and he has to kind of like, he starts, I think, getting involved with crime and having to do runs for these criminals and then all kind of things happen. Then there is, who else? There's the mobster who kind of gets involved with the mob. Oh, he's already involved with the mob, but a lot of stuff starts happening. Yeah, so they all kind of have their own plot lines. I think my favorite is the actor. He is gay, but he's still closeted, and because he's living in a pretty closed-minded community, he can't really come out as an actor. But then he starts having a fake relationship with this woman as cover, and she accidentally leaks photos of him with his actual boyfriend. Yeah, a lot of weird stuff, but they're all kind of self-contained storylines that start playing into each other more and more, some of them.
That's cool. Yeah. And then, are they doing, like, a season two? Do you know?
Yes, they are doing a season two. So at the end, actually, I don't want to spoil it too much, but they have, like, a big bad at the end of season one who they have a conflict with, and the end of season one is a, like, final shot of them all finally interacting with each other at once, which has never happened. They all kind of, like, interacted with each other at points. They're like, oh, hi, I'm this person. Oh, can you help me out? Oh, okay, yeah. Although at the start, it's a lot more like they don't really know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, sure.
And sometimes they'll just be like, oh, suddenly I know how to fight. Oh, I'm going to defend myself. Or, you know. Although I heard that in season two, one of the actors isn't coming back. The South African bus driver character. They have to recast him, which might be a bit weird. But I assume he'll still be playing the same character because it's very much like these eight people are very important to each other and it's kind of like, you know.
Can't just swap one out.
If one of the Sense8 dies, all the others like feel this very, they feel their own death kind of. And it's very like, you can't just write out a character and sub someone else in. It would never make sense within the kind of story. Yeah. The other cool thing about Sense8 is each of the different stories is kind of their own style.
Yeah.
So the Spanish or Brazilian actor, he's an actor in like a Spanish soap opera, right? Okay. So of course, you know, the style's, it's like very overly dramatized, very melodramatic Spanish soap opera.
Yeah. That's cool.
And so that's kind of the style that his story takes on a little bit.
Oh yeah. I sort of assume because it's all these people from very different parts of the world that will sort of allow them to tell different stories of different like genres.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what it is. So the
get a cool like mishmash that like all comes together.
Yeah. So the Indian woman's story, which I think is probably the most underdeveloped story of all of them. She's kind of just a weird side character, if that's possible. Her story is basically that she's about to get married to someone that she doesn't love. And then she has a vision of the Russian guy and her and the Russian guy like basically fall in love with each other pretty quickly. And so her story is kind of, as someone with an Indian girlfriend who I've had to sit through a couple of Hindi Bollywood movies, it feels very reminiscent of that. It's like a classic kind of love story drama. And I think there's even some song breaks thrown in there even. But yeah, it's very much the genre of kind of the area that they're going for.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I think it's well done enough that even though you might not necessarily be interested in like a Spanish soap opera or a Bollywood movie. Yeah. It still kind of does that well enough. And in, it's not, it doesn't go all the way. It still kind of remains on the side of American or Western or whatever television that it's still engaging enough if you're
into that. And I mean, assuming you like the majority of them, you can probably just carry yourself through if you really hate one character's plotline.
I mean, it's kind of weird. So at the start, it's the story tells all these... Sensei tells all these stories at the same time, right? Yeah. So it starts out with maybe some groundwork, which is interesting because you're kind of figuring out, well, what exactly are the rules of this universe? How is it all working?
Yeah.
And then there's the conflict in each of their stories. And then it tells the lull of all of their stories. You know how there's kind of a middle lull to any story? Yeah. It kind of has that for all of them at the same time. And then they all pick up at the end again. So it's kind of like... All the stories have kind of slowed down at the same time.
Could have staggered them a bit.
Yeah, but then that wouldn't make sense because they're all experiencing time at the same time, even though they're in different places.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how they could have done it to avoid that, but on the whole, it's still a pretty good show, I would say. It's something that I definitely recommend.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'll give it a go.
All right, get back to you in 2 weeks. And we're back. So let me just address one thing first. Yes. He is German. He is not Russian. He is German.
Yes.
Yes. We were talking about this just a second ago. My bad. So undo sending that email or whatever. We know he's German. My bad.
But so I've watched Sense8 and I really loved Sense8.
I was kind of wondering, because I think it's a good show, but it definitely has its flaws. So I was wondering where you would land.
I'll be interested to see, because it wasn't perfect or anything, but there was nothing particularly flawed about it. I guess it was a bit slow at times, but I was sort of up back visiting my parents while I was watching it, and they live in a country town, so there's not much to do, so I had
so
the time.
Comparatively, it seemed amazing.
Yeah,
it was the best thing you've ever watched.
I guess I had the time, but
did you watch it with your parents? Because
no.
There are a lot of long and drawn out orgy scenes in this TV show that I don't think we touched on in the pre-episode.
My parents saw a bit, but I watched pretty much the whole thing with my sister.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that takes a weird turn.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I actually sat down just before to try and think which was my favorite character. So I could sort of
who's your favorite? Yeah.
Yeah, and say, which was the plotline I enjoyed the most. And I honestly don't know that I can do that. Really, I'll probably say that you were right. I think the Indian woman was one of the least compelling characters.
Yeah, I think her one was kind of a bit of a love story, not that engaging.
Will, the policeman, was basically just there to drive the overarching plot along.
Yeah, he didn't really get his own plot.
Apart from those two, I would almost call the others a six-way tie if I was trying to pick who I thought was the most interesting.
I think the Berlin/London DJ also had a bit of her own story, but also abandoned her story pretty quick, didn't she?
Her story was interesting, but I found her as a character... she spent 90% of the season just biting her lower lip and staring at things.
That is true.
It's sort of... I don't know, there just wasn't really much to her as a person.
See, now...
Whereas I thought, talking about all the stuff, it's not till the final two episodes you get her backstory about what happened to her in Iceland.
Yeah, why she...
And
Iceland, that's right, not...
Yeah, and now I was sort of like, that was crazy and, tragic and really well done.
Yeah, yeah. But up until that point...
Up until that point, she just sort of went around... And because she was really interesting in the first episode as well. There was that big shootout between all the, gang people... the drug people she was associated with.
Yes.
And then from there, she just sort of decided to walk around London for
nine
episodes.
Yeah, her story just kind of drops off really quickly.
So I was often finding myself disappointed when she popped up on screen. It wasn't until the end.
But she's kind of redeemed in her story.
Oh yeah, at the end.
Because she starts to associate with Will and they fall in love, the policeman, and then they kind of explore the main story themselves pretty much.
Yeah.
Now I do have to say my favorite story is definitely the Spanish soap opera star.
That one's definitely right up there. I particularly the dynamic of him, his boyfriend, and Daniela, the girl, was just
his
hilarious.
His cover girlfriend.
The fact she found out, and then she got so into it, and, it was a bit awkward at first, but then the three of them ended up...
Yeah, at the end, it kind of resolves into a weird happy threes company kind of happy family, where those two are,
lovers, and then she's just kind of like their pal who hangs around.
That was really interesting. That was really fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
You had your sort of stereotypical Asian ninja in Sun.
Yes, and her story is kind of that she is this powerful business lady, yeah, and she's trying to inherit her father's company. Correct me, you've seen this more recently than me, but she inherits her father's company or something, or her brother inherits it, but he's a screw-up, and she kind of has to run it behind the scenes. Yeah, she's sick of trying to have to kind of having to take the fall for the family,
It's that classic story where she's the one who's actually competent, but the dad thinks that the son is the greatest thing that ever happened. And he's just a drunk screw-up. And then she ends up taking the fall for his... embezzling.
Embezzles, that's right. And she says it was her.
And then her dad, it's this beautiful moment. Her dad has the change of heart, and he's like, "You're actually the one who's always been good, and I'm going to confess and say it was your brother, and just like tank the company so that you're free." And so then we quickly find out that the dad has died in an accident.
It's very hinted that the brother killed the dad.
And so that'll be interesting.
The brother doesn't seem like a malicious character for most. No. He just seems like a screw up.
Yeah, but I guess we're going to find out that he's a little bit more calculated.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, most of all the people who had their own storylines, apart from the Indian ladies, I'm really keen to see what's going to happen next season.
Yes.
So, you mentioned...
What happens with the Indian lady? Does she end up getting married to the...
No, she faints in the middle of the wedding, and then she's still thinking about calling it off. The dad comes to tell her to call it off, and then he gets stabbed. And she
gets stabbed?
Yeah, in the temple, a bunch of people.
Oh, that's right, because it's this class struggle thing. Yeah. And she and her family is very closely related to
the local Hindu temple.
Yes.
And he's trying to get religion shut down.
Her dad is.
Her to be father-in-law.
Her stepfather. Her future father-in-law. That's right, not stepfather.
I don't know, and so she wasn't quite married to him in the end, but it was sort of there was more to be done there. I don't think they'd quite broken up.
Yeah, and the thing is, I thought she was a really good character. I just thought her story was just so uninteresting.
The only interesting parts were where she was interacting with the German guy,
Wolfgang. Yeah.
It's funny
now, as well. His story I liked as well.
Yes. I thought it was funny as well, because she got, when the show started, it was very much I was okay... So Sun has fighting skills. She's going to come in and what? And I was like, Caffeus can drive. That's going to come back.
That's cool, yeah.
And then immediately at the start, she works as a chemist in a chemistry factory. Yeah. I was like, she's going to MacGyver a bomb.
But no.
At the end of the season. No, she does. In the final episode. Yeah. She, for Wolfgang, he gets captured. He goes on a rampage in the mansion and gets cornered. And she comes in and helps him MacGyver a bomb
that
in the kitchen.
That was completely gone from my brain. In my head, I just had it that she had a chemistry skill that was just never used.
No, they used it. They used it the most predictable way possible.
That's the thing. Her special skill, and I would say, I can't remember the character's name, but the San Francisco woman, the one who's dating the woman from Doctor Who.
Yeah, yeah.
Her hacking skill also doesn't really come into it that much, does she?
It does. It does a little bit. And it's mostly to further that overarching plot, which hers is very much intertwined with.
Yes,
she doesn't necessarily have her own individual plot.
Yeah.
In as much, she's the one they're actively hunting for most of the season.
That's right. She's being hunted down.
Yes.
And it's her and her girlfriend trying to evade the...
Yeah. So her hacking skills...
The baddie Whispers, right?
Yeah, Whispers is the... Well, Whispers is just the name of the guy that's hunting them. And he's working for... I think it was called the BPO.
Okay, sure.
Which
just
is
some
big,
acronym.
The big bad company.
The big public overarching villain. The BPOV.
Exactly. So her hacking skills come into a lot of the information they gather on how the BPO works and stuff comes from her hacking, and the other half of their information comes from Saeed from Lost, the sensei who helped.
Oh, that's
her.
Right. He's the sensei from... So there's another previous group of senseis.
Yes.
That exists. And that's the inciting incident, right? One of them kills herself and that kind of triggers
new
group.
It's sort of implied that there's a birthing ritual that some sensates can do that creates a new cluster.
Right.
And she was being hunted by Whispers. So there's a thing, once she's made eye contact with Whispers, he can follow her.
See,
so
this
she,
is a weird thing.
She birthed the new cluster and then killed herself so that Whispers couldn't find them.
See, the whole thing about Whispers being able to, what, find you when he's seen you? Or
so that
he can see through your eyes when he's interacted with, when he's made eye contact.
So,
right?
So when it's your cluster,
mm-hmm.
you can visit them, which is like where you sort of appear in the scene.
Yeah.
And you can also, I think they call it like sharing, which is where you get access to their skills and their memories.
Yes.
That only applies to your cluster.
Right.
If you make eye contact with some a sensei
from a different cluster,
all you can do is visit each other. So
right.
it's sort of implied that, like, well, essentially what it's set up is when you make eye contact with Whispers, he can just come and visit you whenever he wants and
right.
sort of find out where you are.
Right.
So the thing is, he was able to visit her.
Yes.
So after she gave birth to sensei, she had to kill herself so that he wouldn't be able to track them.
But through her. Through her. Okay.
Yes.
So at the end, in I think the final episode, or maybe the second final, I can't remember, but Whispers makes eye contact with
Will. Yeah.
And so at the end, they escape from Whispers. They don't really kill him, which I want to get back to because I don't know they could have just shot him. They escape, and there's this final scene on the boat with the Icelandic DJ lady and Will, and Will is blindfolded,
and then the other
and they're
six
just kind
are
of
all visiting.
Away. They're visiting. They're all visiting and kind of hanging out as a big happy family.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of set up that I guess they're going to have to fight Whispers again, but Will is going to basically always have to wear a blindfold so that Whispers can't track
him. Yeah. I mean, he could be able to be involved because he could just visit the others. I don't know
yes.
that...
Whispers can't visit the others when he visits
no,
them.
No. They did talk about... Like, they mentioned in the show that the BPO has the ability to track... I had a word for it. Like, the Psycelium. Or something, which is like the psychic network that connects them all.
Right.
So the idea was, one of the characters said, it's like, even if she's connected to them, even when she's not visiting them, it's implied that they have machines that they can plug her into that they can
that
use
track,
to track
right.
them.
And it's a lot of sci-fi mumbo-jumbo that's really just about telling the story,
yeah,
right?
It reminded me a bit of shows like Orphan Black, where it's sci-fi.
It's just about telling the story of the show.
Yeah, in the driving force is this... fictional technology, but that's not really the point.
Yeah.
I
think we should talk about the end. So, there's this one scene, I remember when I was watching, the end of the show is kind of, I feel, the weakest part, because there's this scene where Will has been kidnapped, and then the Icelandic woman and the hacker woman go and rescue him, right?
It's the other way around, it's the Icelandic girl's been kidnapped.
And
Will
and the hacker woman go, okay. And then they rescue her, and at some point, Whispers makes eye contact with Will.
Mm.
And then there's this scene where they're driving along. I remember this very beautiful kind of scenic. They're driving along, and Whispers is in this chopper following them, and he parks his chopper, and they get out, and they go to this hill. Whispers is running up, and it's established that they have a gun at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had chances to kill him.
Yes, but they... Don't.
I think it comes back to this thing. I mean, I remember thinking the same thing a lot when you're watching season one of Heroes, which you compared it to. I think Sense8 is what Heroes wanted to be. Mm. It's that thing where they're ordinary people, and apparently part of being an ordinary person is general incompetence in some of these situations.
Yeah, I mean, even if they wanted to, like, the villain of Heroes is obviously Scylla, but he has powers. Like, he conceivably would be a hard person to kill because he's telekinetic, he has all these powers that he's collected.
Yeah.
But Whispers is... His sole power is sensei-related powers, which don't really give him anything.
But, I mean, I guess the thing is that they're not really experts at sensating, right? So the thing is, like, even though he can... Like, even though they can sort of go... Like, Sun can come in and kick ass for them.
Yeah.
Like, it's implied that there's not too much control, and I guess they're not necessarily thinking big picture that well yet, because they're most of them are pretty new.
They do kind of... That develops, like, at the start it's more flukes and stuff, but at the end, I remember there's a scene where they kind of call in Sun to help them out.
Yeah, they do. I think it's, like, episode 3 or 4. It was probably my favourite. It's when Sun's having her period, and then Lido, like, the Spanish... the Spanish actor, gets the effects. And so, like... And
sounds so terrible now that you're...
It's such a corny idea, but, like, it plays out really well in the episode.
Does
like,
it?
It's pretty funny.
Okay, but...
like, it's just, like, it's a little side plot. It's early on in the season, like... Back then, when they were just getting up to funny shenanigans.
Yeah,
like
where it's just the shenanigans, and it's not really about this guy who's trying to track them down, and...
Yeah.
What is he doing? Killing them?
Yeah, so... For some reason, they tend to kill all the sensates. Their motives, and I guess that's a lot of the show hasn't quite been explained. Exactly how all the rules of Sense8 aren't 100% clear.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of mystery
still. There is the character who is in there just for exposition, the guy from Lost.
Yes.
But it's still pretty...
But he, like, he didn't do his whole job.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that, like, there's still a lot of mystery behind it, so they very much were expecting to get a second season from the looks of it, because a lot of the mystery is still half there. Like, there's one bit, the Icelandic girl meets, like, another sensate from a third from a third cluster.
Who she kind of had interactions with as a child or something.
Yeah, and so this third sensate, she, well, the group, the sensate from the third cluster, she actually tells them that... Saeed and the woman that birthed them have been working with Whispers before.
Yes.
So there's clearly something there, and it's just like, there's...
Yeah, some backstory. Even though there's that kind of double bluff where it's like, oh, is Saeed actually working against us? Yeah. But it turns out he's not. He's on their team.
So I felt like, it didn't feel like they were holding information out too much, but it definitely feels like it's not
there's
like...
There's more to tell.
It's not like one of those shows where they're going to have to keep amping up and adding arbitrary rules
in
the second season. The second season's going to tie in a lot.
Now there's Sense Nines, and they can do these other crazy things.
Exactly. There's a lot of... There's a lot of room. There's stuff still unexplained, so it's like they're going to have to keep adding to the universe.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite nice. They explain things as they're absolutely necessary. So, and that was my pet peeve in the show, actually, was if I was a sensei, the first thing I'd do is, as I was starting to get a hold of this ability, so like if I was
Will...
Is figure out the rules and also interact with the other seven and like introduce all of us as much
as
possible.
Hi, my name's Elliot. Yeah, my secret skills are, I'm good at Mario Maker.
Yeah, and like, because they do that and they drop in and out, but like... There was never that sense of like...
They're actually trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, like there were definitely group pairs by the end of the season who hadn't really interacted.
Yeah, like maybe Wolfgang.
Like, and, you know, I would have organized a group meeting even in the form of a visitation
by episode
or whatever.
3, at least.
Like, I mean, that would have sort of... that was sort of really
the
only thing.
Yeah, that kind of frustrates me in sci-fi kind of things a lot, where people are just like, whoa, crazy things are happening, but let's not try and think about it. Let's just see what happens.
Like, I get a lot of them had their own shit going on, but, like, do you not have half an hour of downtime to sort of chat with the person you now share a psychic link with?
Like, yeah, it's a pretty... They kind of just treat it like, all right, I get this is happening, but I'm busy with my father's business. This is more important than this absurd thing which has never happened in fiction mumbo jumbo.
The German guy in Cafius, whose lives are literally in danger from the various mobs they're interacting with, maybe the only ones who come close to having an excuse.
Yeah, the Indian woman is just like, oh, my wedding's in 3 weeks. I'm way too busy. I have to pick out flower arrangements. I can't possibly think about how I'm now a psychic master or whatever. How I now have superpowers, basically.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was just really... and I get that they don't have to... Because it might have been boring for the viewers to watch them sort of... Because watching Will have to explain what they are, like, seven times. Sure, but then they establish that they can share memories, and people, a couple of times in the show, exchange recently acquired information just by, like, sharing it when they're visiting.
Yeah.
So they could have just implied that they were
that
doing
they had
that.
Just done that. Yeah,
like,
easy.
So that was really the only thing that bothered me is... like, a lot of these problems... It's, again, problems being caused by poor communication skills.
Yeah, just be team players. You guys are friends forever now, so be team players.
And, you know, I read a bit about the series after I watched it, and they talked a lot about how this is a show about people connecting and how we're stronger together, and yet they're not communicating.
They're not actually... Yeah. They kind of ignore the main thing.
They're communicating to help each other through, like, short-term...
Through immediate problems.
Short-term
yeah.
issues. Like, they're not... Yeah, they're not actually coming together. Yeah.
That is a very frustrating thing. Yeah, but putting that aside, or including it if you want, overall, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably give this, like, 8 out of 10.
See, I think you actually enjoyed this one a little bit more than me.
It sounds like it. I mean, it was a bit slow, but I didn't mind that. And I just thought it was very good and very interesting. And yeah, like I said, I think it's what Heroes wanted to be, and I feel like it's looking a lot better going into season 2 than Heroes was.
Fair enough. But
so,
you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
And thus closes the curtain on another episode of Media MD. That's a beautiful weird outro. Anyway, so you can reach out and contact us at our email, mediamdpodcast@gmail.com.
And we also have a website.
We do have a website. What is that website, Elliot?
I don't know it.
Well, it's part of my